the dark, I play my dream. Purple culture flows like sweet streams. I'm the daddy with the know-how seed. Creating the world like it's meant to be. Purple culture, P-I-L-P, I'm the king. Back to love in everything. Bring a change, making it last.
Welcome to episode 327 of the Permaculture Pimpcast, where PIMP stands for Permaculture is My Passion. The only Pimpcast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Oh, yeah. Good to be with y'all this evening. And I want to give a shout out to Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Living Soil Foundation. Yeah, you know what time it is. We are getting it done in Western North Carolina and still waiting on the test results. Hopefully, we will have them next week. So we'll have something to report, whether good or ill. And I'm hoping it's going to be the former. So, yeah, if anybody wants to donate, go check us out on Give, Send, Go. We still haven't, folks, we just don't have any bandwidth to get that website done right now. We are up to our eyeballs, and I'll give you a prime example. I'm just going to jump right into the farm news right now. We just now got off the side of the mountain one of the sheep nets that were crushed during the hurricane. That was back in October. We just now picked it up. I mean, so we're just now getting that done. I mean, that's kind of giving you an example of, I mean, this is why I haven't had time to do any YouTube videos lately. It's, man, it's multifaceted. The first reason was, well, we were banned off of YouTube for a week. And then it was supposed to be 2 weeks. I guess they forgot about the second week. And then honestly, I'm like, okay, I have got to put foot to butt being a farmer first. And that's what I'm going to encourage everybody else out there to do, especially in these times. And they become more and more unsure by the day. Well, anyway, I jumped the gun a little bit, son. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Yeah, just dealing with the crappy, muggy weather. The dew point is a couple degrees different than the actual temperature outside. And it's like one of those heats where like the sweat doesn't evaporate, so you don't really get cooled off at all. And yeah, right now the baby just gets mad when she goes outside for too long now.
Yeah, yeah, I know what that weather's like. I grew up around that place. We haven't even, I mean, here we are in Western North Carolina on my end. He's in Texas, and we haven't needed the air conditioner yet. I've been still wearing a sweatshirt every single morning out there. And so, you know, honestly, one thing that we have changed, we've been doing before what we would do. Okay, folks, I'm just going to jump right into the farm news here. So before, what we used to do is we would get up and then do our, what we call people care. Okay. You know, that second permaculture ethic. We get up, we go outside, go watch the sunrise while grounding. And of course I'm doing other things at the same time. I'm doing my Bible study and also my deep breathing. Now I'm doing a different kind of deep breathing program. And this one is from a guy named Erwin LaCour. And he was highly recommended by Dr. Jack Cruz. So I went ahead and bought his course and I'm like, okay, well, I'll go ahead and try this guy's stuff. And so far, man, I'm really, really digging it. I'll let you know how that unfolds. I'm still in the middle of doing the course. But anyway, I'm out there doing my deep breathing, typically as I'm grounding and watching the sunrise, and Michelle's doing the same. So we've changed it up a little bit. We get up way earlier now, go down there, get the chores done, and then because the sun rises closest to the high tunnel, that's where we do the rest of it. So I'm out there literally, when you have grass this high, when you have grass that's 4 feet high, your pants are completely wet. So I'm standing out here absolutely naked, grounding half the time. And yeah, I mean, nobody can
see me. Hold on. Yes, they can. They can totally see you if you're naked by the high tunnel, Dad. People can totally see you from the road.
No, they can't. Not the way I'm positioned. Nobody can see me. So I'm standing out there naked on the ground, you know, getting that morning sun, you know, like I'm supposed to do. And I can honestly feel the difference. I mean, I'm feeling that I'm not anywhere near as fatigued as I used to be. So we switched that up a little bit. So now we're doing getting up way earlier, getting out there, getting the chores done, and then watch the sunrise while we're down at the high tunnel, because that's where it hit the sun, the direct sun, if we have any, you know, every single day. Like I'm sure a lot of other folks out there, we're getting absolutely blasted. In fact, if you go to Twitter right now, man, I mean, even people like Seth Holhouse from Man in America podcast, man, he is absolutely going nuts. And everybody else is too. Anybody that's wide awake is like, good night, man. Is this stuff ever going to stop? And it's nonstop and it seems to be getting worse. So, like I said, you know, the one thing that was better under the Biden administration is we weren't chemtrailed nowhere near as much. And if anybody tells me different, you need to be wrapped in the head with a tack hammer. Because seriously, when it's this bad, when normies are waking up from this, you got to pay attention. So I think there's something more afoot, but I'll come to that maybe a little bit later. So some other things I got going on here. We finally are able to get some road work done around here. And I mean like the driveway. So ever since it washed out during the hurricane, it's been a mess trying to get up. I mean, thank God for four-wheel drive, but it's been a mess getting up and down here. So finally, we're now, you know, the regular public is able to buy road bond again. So I've been putting that down. So we got some of the big holes squared away. And so it's like a nonstop thing. But then, you know, when you're doing projects like that, it's also a great time for me to take off my shirt and get absolutely all the sun I can possibly get. No tan lines on me. You can believe that anywhere. Because I can be, and now I got these shorts. These were also another recommendation from Dr. Cruz. I can't remember the name of them, but I mean, man, you tell people you're doing farm work in shorts, man, nobody would ever believe you because it just seems insane and it's kind of foolish, but that's what I'm doing them in. You know, you get scraped up a little bit here and there, but hey, man, I got these see-through shorts that you're still getting your vitamin D through the shorts, and they make like bikinis for women and stuff. So
wait, they're see-through shorts?
Yeah. Yeah. So, and, I mean, you can't exactly wear these suckers in public. I'm sure somebody is, but, So anyway, some of Hacks is saying, yeah. What's he got here? Billy, the Sasquatch of the mountains running around. Well, if anybody shows up here and announced, you know what, they're going to see a Loch Ness sighting they didn't expect. So, don't come rolling up here unannounced. You might be seeing some stuff you don't want to see.
Wait, so what's the point of see-through shorts?
Is that you?
Why we even wear anything?
Yeah, because you can still get the vitamin D through your shorts. So one of the things Dr. Cruz has been talking about, you know, and he's been really all over this as of late, is like the worst invention ever made was sunglasses. Worst thing you can do for your health. Number one fastest way to get yourself cancer. And he qualifies it too. He's not just saying this stuff. Well, also getting sunlight in your nether regions, especially for women, he talks about, you know, if you can try to get your breasts in the sunlight as well. And he was talking about the number one thing that, you know, every single woman that comes down with breast cancer is low in vitamin D. And if you say, well, I'm taking the pills, look, it's nowhere near as good as actual sunlight. Nothing's as good as nature. So anyway, the shorts are getting it in the places that ordinarily you couldn't get it. So either I'm running around just stark naked, or I know people think I'm joking, but I'm dead serious. If you fly a drone over here, first of all, don't fly a drone over here or I'll be shooting skeet. Anyway, if you fly over, you will see, you'll be like, what's this dude doing? Yeah, that's right. I'm doing it and I don't care. So I'm on my property. I'm out in the boonies. Nobody can see me. So I'm out here absolutely stark naked. And just to give you an example, I don't mean to beat this dead horse, but for how long it takes to, okay, I started out, my vitamin D levels were extremely low. And to even get to the point where it's somewhat marginal, depending on whom you ask, you want about 40 nanograms per milliliter, okay? I was very, very low. Right now, I'm at 64 nanoliters. Your mom's at about 70 something. But the darker you are, obviously, the harder it is to get that vitamin D. So I said it before, I think in the previous podcast, that the vitamin D levels of most dark people in this country have got to be off the charts awful. I mean, absolutely off the charts awful. If it's taken me this many months just to get up to, just to get up to 64, and yeah, so it takes a little bit to get there. But anyway, folks, start where you are, and there are some other solutions out there. Red light therapy isn't going to do it. Not the typical red light. You need something like a reptile light to be able to get the right vitamin D. But anyway. Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Hold on. We got a question up here, and it's been all right. So AA said, Billy, you got pants on. Now I'm now asking the same thing, because when you first walked into the podcast, I was like, no, surely he's got tan shorts on or tan pants on or something like that. That's what I was thinking. But now that AA is asking the question, I'm also wondering. I'm now second guessing my first thoughts. Dad, do you have pants on?
And okay, if a man wants to do a podcast naked, he's entitled to do so. Who's gonna see me up here in these mountains, man? I mean, what?
You have a screen in front of you. Do you not have pants on? So that was your thigh I saw earlier. I saw you when you walked in.
No, son, I got my shorts on, the see-through shorts. You weren't looking at Goliath or nothing. I mean, I'm telling you, it's just, no, man. I mean, I'm not walking around like that. But yeah, outside, every single chance I can, dude, I'm absolutely naked, and I'm trying to get. Look, I love the work I do. I love being able to do this work, but I do it in a very extreme environment. And in order to do it, I'm going to have to make sure I'm taking every single dog to the hunt. So. Where I and all of us, most of us in construction and in farming, do everything backwards. We do all of our work in the morning. We wear all these clothes that we probably shouldn't have on. We're wearing sunglasses half the time, worst thing in the world. And since I started changing that up, I'm like, man, I'm really, really, nothing has moved the needle faster and quicker than doing it this way. But all of us in the construction world and otherwise, we do the exact opposite of what we ought to be doing. We should be embracing the sun. And of course, everybody out there, or you know, all the dermatologists who are all quacks in my view, are going to tell you this. If they tell you to stay out of the sun, you know what? Maybe I know more about their trade than they do. So the more examination I do into this stuff, the more I'm realizing I need it. That's why we changed everything around, getting the morning sun. If you can, get the evening sun. You know, getting rid of the electronics. Wearing blue light blockers or staying out the blue light altogether when the sun goes down. Things like that are really, really moving the needle, I think, in a big way. Folks, I'm going to try to get Dr. Cruz on this program, but hey, you better be ready, because that dude is, he can be a little bit rough around the edges, but if there is a smarter person on this planet, I don't know who it is. Although he does have his blind spots in some areas, but don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Anyway, some other things going on around here besides walking around here naked. One thing I don't do naked is weed eating. And I've been doing a whole lot of that. You better believe I'm suited and booted on that one. Because I can't, you know, you'll be getting scars in places you really don't want them if you're out there weed eating, especially silvergrass, because you get up in that stuff and it's like cutting bamboo with that stuff. So been doing a lot of that, getting that silver grass out of here. Got one major patch over here I need to get rid of. Let's see, other things, making compost, doing a whole lot of that as of late, doing a lot of experiments. And I'm going to try to explain a little bit of that more. I've spent a lot of that on Patreon. That's where I did the step-by-step-by-step and how we do it. And folks, if you want to check us out on Patreon, like I said, you can get on as little as a buck. But I've done an entire course over there. For any subscribers at Patreon, I mean, step by step by step and how you go through it. And a lot of people have reported back that they've had a lot of good success doing it that way. So William's done tons of composting videos on his channel. Folks, for reasons I'm going to describe later in this podcast, you really want to get solid composting under your feet. You really do in so many different ways. And plus, it's the backbone of how we're healing Western North Carolina. Let's see, what else we got here? Man. Oh, yeah. So I just described getting the net off the mountain. But I'll tell you what else we got going on around here. We have got a bumper crop of peaches like you've never seen before. Because we didn't get that late frost, now all of the peaches, the early, remember, we plant early, mid, and late, no matter what it is, no matter apple, early, mid, and late, peaches, early, mid, and late, you name it, early, mid, and late of everything. So these peaches are coming up like nothing I've ever seen before. No coddling moth damage that I can tell. No nothing. So it's just good, solid management. And we are going to have an abundance of peaches like nothing you've ever seen before. And folks, if you haven't had peaches fresh out, look, yeah, you may say, I've had fresh peaches. No, you probably haven't. Even if you got them from an orchard, unless you pick them off that tree, 9 times out of 10, they pick them things just like most apples in the store. They'll say these are organic apples. But son, do you know how old most apples are in the store?
Oh, usually, like, what is it, 8 months to a year old or something?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's with a lot of other fruits out there, too. So when you think you're getting fresh fruit out there, folks, unless you've picked a real peach off the tree or blueberry straight off the bush, you don't know what fresh really is. And it has an aroma, a flavor. And then we have so many different cultivars out there. Got white peaches. I mean, you name it, man. It's out there. But we are going to have, you know, barring some calamity or whatever, I've never seen the trees this loaded before. It is something else. And of course, the bees are loving it.
Are you going to have any ready at the end of June?
Yeah, I think so. I think we're going to, okay. I'm pretty sure we will. I want to be able to pick peaches with my grandbaby. And also, I want to have some baby chickens because I got some of the, I got more eggs that came in the mail, these breast birds, and put them in the incubator. And, you know, son, here's a little side note. So I got another batch of eggs in today for my friend John out in Missouri. Anyway, get these eggs in. And this time on the box, he wrote eggs, very fragile, or, you know, something to that, something like that. And of course, postal guys being what they are, he packed them exactly the same way he did last time. And I guarantee they smashed this box up just because it said eggs on it. So really? They busted up about six of them. And I'm like, come on, really? The postage on this thing was like $60 just to send this box. And it came in and he packed them perfectly. It was just, these are your government workers at hand. Ask me how I know. I've worked for the government on two different occasions, okay? And I'm telling you, You meet some of the best people, but by and large, most of them are automatons that will destroy your stuff just because they can. I mean,
I've recently watched a YouTube video from a guy called the Fat Electrician. History was taught by him, like in high school, or people like him in high school, way more people would have interest in history. But he did a video talking about the Postal Service and how it's like, government funded monopoly.
Yeah.
If anytime that UPS or DHL or FedEx or anything like that, anytime they start selling too much mail that isn't like an emergency outside of the USPS, they can start getting like the US Postal Carrier Police Division or whatever will start going after FedEx and UPS and stuff. It's wild.
Yeah, it's a real mess. But even all the way through the government ranks, I mean, if you work in the government, you'll realize you'll get these bureaucrats in there, and it's like they are quite literally brain dead. Like I said, two different occasions I worked for the government, and the motto is "screw up, move up." You get a guy who's a complete dirtbag, yeah, he's probably going to go right up the ranks. Somebody that's out there, you know, trying to do the right thing, they'll just stay put. I mean, it's a house of mediocrity, and this is a classic example. I mean, he sent me the other box. Every egg came in just fine. This one, I wish he didn't write eggs on the side of it. It's not his fault. I mean, he's thinking people are like him, that, you know, they're just good, solid folks. They see eggs on there. I guarantee some doofus at one of the warehouses or whatever threw it around, busted it up. You had to try to break these eggs. That's how well he had them packed. I mean, he could have put nitroglycerin in there, and it would have been, you know, just fine. So for these eggs to be busted up like this, that's okay, though. I've got a lot more, and they ought to be hatching by the time my grandbaby's out here playing. So she's going to play with the chickens, and she's going to pick peaches with grandpops. So
Yeah, I don't know, Dad. You might not want to have her hold some chicks. Ever since Midwest preparedness, she's gone completely feral. There's no more gentle. There's no more walking. There's just straight sprinting and then grab or let go or, yeah, fine motor skills have gone by the wayside.
Well, she'll be able to play with baby chickens. We'll kind of tone her down. Baby chickens, baby sheep. Pick a bunch of peaches. Ought to be plenty of blueberries. I mean, you guys ought to be going home with plenty of fruit and honey. No doubt about that. So,
oh man,
yeah, there's plenty of all of it right now, and none too soon. Anyway, before I pass it over to you, son, I just want to say, look, looks like there's a bromance feud going on right now between Elon and Trump. If you're not aware of it yet, wow. Twitter's absolutely blown up with it right now. I guess Elon's saying, yeah, the number one reason why these Epstein files aren't released is because Trump is in them. And then I was like, not a shocker here. Plenty of videos out there, him being all chummy with Epstein. I don't know what the deal is, but at the end of the day, I don't buy any of it. It seems like more theater to me. So, yeah, the whole world seems to be melting down over this little feud. But, Elon seems to be dropping some manhole covers on Trump's head right now. And like I said, it just there's something bigger afoot here. I'm not buying it. Something stinks. So what's up in your world, son?
Yeah, that definitely seems contrived. Like, all right, this part of the script is up. You guys ready? That's what it kind of feels like. As far as like farm news and stuff like that, I just got done helping a friend change some outlets and switches in his house. And let me tell you, this just even confirms back in the 70s, the work ethic in the electrical business was still crappy here. It was like there was all kinds of mistakes going on behind the plugs, behind the switches, all that type of stuff. Just like with pigtail wires together. And not even use like a wire cap or anything like that. They would just like open-ended. Yeah. So I was helping a friend take care of that type of stuff today. What's up?
Well, back in those days, there was a time where, you know, at a certain time, they didn't use wire nuts and stuff like that. They would use solder and stuff like that. It was a very different national electric code back in those days. In fact, it's changed erratically in some ways in just the time I've been in the trade.
Oh, well. This must have been one of those times because there wasn't a single wire nut anywhere in that house. some wires, some boxes had grounds. Some boxes did not have grounds. I don't know why. It just didn't make any sense. But yeah, did that. Got a bunch of planning ready for some future videos. Also planned what I'm going to be planting in the demonstration site garden tomorrow, which... Y'all, if you haven't planted your garden yet, don't feel bad. I still haven't done it for the demonstration site, just the garden for the house. Got some more compost curing. And then I got to mow after this podcast. I got to mow some more and get some more green material for compost. But yeah, that's why my yard looks different than everybody else's yard. I mow as I need compost ingredients. Most people mow to keep their grass at a certain height. Yeah, I got sections of my grass that varying ages of grass all through the back and the front yard. But yeah, that's what I got going on here.
Yeah, that's how I roll too, man. I only whatever the animals don't eat, and in fact, they will eat. I'll have them right up next to the house. Doing all my yard maintenance. So the problem is the solution. I mean, hey, I am not going to do. And then also when I do mow, it's like it's strategic. I'm waiting for it to get long enough for me to make another pile. And that's exactly what I'm doing because to be doing what I'm doing, I require a lot of each. Hey, want to thank everybody for coming in tonight. If you would hit that thumbs up, tell everybody we're live. All right, y'all, Redemption Shield, 10% off with promo code PERMA. Look, I don't just podcast naked. I got my naked feet on this Redemption Shield grounding mat, even as I'm broadcasting, okay? So I'm G'd up from the feet up, and you know what that is. Wave Watch, Billy 100, I was over there picking up some stones today to put down on the driveway. And, of course, this guy's like, man, that's the biggest watch I've ever seen in my life. And I'm like, yeah, it's Wave Watch, man. It's tried to explain it to him. And then he's telling me about all his health modalities and, of course, lights up a cigarette right at the same time. So that was cool. Billy 100 will get you $100 off of that. And then remember, coming up, William's going to be one of the keynote speakers there, Kentucky Sustainable Living. It's going to be July 18th through the 20th in Bowling Green, Kentucky. So we had the folks putting that on a couple, or what was it, last week? Yeah. So be there, be square. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of good stuff coming up in the near future. And you know what? I think I might have to eat a little bit of crow before too long because, you know, initially when Trump came in office, everybody went right back into the matrix. And now all of a sudden they're realizing, oh, snap, we've been lied to again about just about everything. And so now they're coming back out of the matrix. So all of you folks that I told you, hey, that, you know, Trump's in, everybody's going back in. You know, I may have got that wrong. I don't know yet. I don't know yet. I'm wondering if this is a Machiavelli tactic that we see unfolding right now. Folks, if you haven't read the book, The Prince by Machiavelli, and there's this part in there, and I'm going to paraphrase it. And it basically says, whatever evil you do to the people, do it all at once and do it right up front. But any good that you do, trickle it out over time. And I'll have to find that direct quote, but it's straight out of The Prince. And I wonder if that's not what's going on right now. So maybe all this awful stuff that they're putting through right now, the boomerang may turn back the other way. We'll see. At the end of the day, it's not going to be anything that long-term benefits any of us. But I wonder if they're doing all the nasty stuff up front, because I'm like, every time I see that sort of thing, I'm going right back to Machiavelli. That's exactly how he said to do it. So some of the good news, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because I want to spend more on the topic. So Canada quietly launches war crimes investigation in the Israeli forces in Gaza and Gaza aid scheme massacre. So, you know, all those people that came in there, dropped off aid, and then bam, the workers got killed, the aid workers. So not that it's ever going to do any good at all, because Canada is basically ruled by the crown still. Nobody really talks about that, but yes, they are. So King Chucky over there in England is actually really calling the shots behind the scenes, but nobody wants to talk about that. Anyway, they're over there, and people are just starting. I can't believe it's taking this long, but people are just starting to realize what exactly is happening over there. And we have our names and our bombs and all of it all over it. So it's not the end of the world. It's not, you know, the finish line, but it is movement. So I'll take that, and I'm going to have to call that good news. Next one is Reviving Health, the Gerson Therapy's 80-year legacy of defeating chronic illness. Now, a lot of people that have used Gerson treatment are probably aware of it regarding cancer treatment. And it's like, you know, it's one of those methods that people use that's kind of, for the longest time, it's been, people have been very, very critical of it. But in this article, they describe how it's being used for a number of other ailments out there. And in a nutshell, Gerson, there's a whole lot of juicing out there, and you're going to be doing a lot of liver cleansing, detoxing in the form of coffee enemas, which in full disclosure, look, man, I've already talked about walking around naked, but I do at least 2 coffee enemas a week. I mean, hey, I've already gone this far. We just as well cross the Rubicon, okay? So I do at least 2 of them a week. And I do it on the heels after I do an EDTA treatment, which is getting out all the heavy metals. Now, if you check out the work of Dr. Maria Mihalchik, another one I need to get on the show. I think she didn't want to come on the show because the title of it kind of was off-putting to her. I mean, they think, pimp cast, what? Yeah. So anyway, she and a number of others, Dr. Group being one of them, Dr. Artist being one. Oop, can't say that name.
Crap. Yeah.
So anyway, a number of other highly respected doctors out there have talked about using EDTA chelation. Now, you can go to a lot of functional medicine doctors and get it done there. Intravenously is the best, but the next best, almost as good, is using suppositories. And then, of course, there's an oral treatment as well. Now, Dr. Mihalchik is talking about when she does live blood analysis on all the people that do EDTA chelation, it's like all these nanoparticles that are being dropped from the sky, all this other crap in the air, Every time you do an EDTA chelation, it breaks out the critical components they need to assemble themselves in your body. You dig? So I do the EDTA chelation at night, and the following day after chores and after a little bit of people care, after I get in the sun for a while, then I'll do the coffee enema. So I'll chase all that stuff out of there. You dig? So, folks, we're going to have to be our own best doctors out there, because Lord knows last thing you ever want to do is go to a hospital these days. And, honestly, it was a lot of these doctors that were telling you to go out there and take certain things that have been very deleterious to your health. Okay. So I'm not listening to those doctors that have recommended those things. I'll be taking the bull by the horns myself. I'll be listening to credible people. And honestly, any way you can break up any, remember the last thing Julian Assange said before they locked him up, folks, go look for yourself. I'm not going to give it all to you right now, but as soon as Julian Assange talked about, quote, this magic dust, unquote, being dropped from the sky, as soon as he talked about that, all of a sudden they had him locked up for the next decade. And of course he hasn't really had much to say since that time. So anyway, yeah, it's all happening, and these are ways to bust up some of those things that are going on in you. So EDTA chelation followed by coffee enema. So anyway, back to this article. Yeah, the Gerson therapy, people are now just starting to wake up to it, even though people were highly critical of it before, even though it has had a very, very impressive track record. So finally, last good news story. Citibank. Yeah, they had this little policy before. But they reversed, okay, I'll just jump to the chase. They basically reversed their firearm policy because of the political backlash and some of the GOP pressure. Not that I trust any of those polecats either. But anyway, Citibank was trying to come down like a ton of bricks on anybody selling weapons. And now they've done a 180 on that. So I'm calling that good news. So maybe that pendulum is now swinging the other way. There's a lot of others. You know, I don't think PayPal still hasn't reinstated me. I was banned from there. Yeah, I was banned from there.
Forgot about that.
Yeah, I was banned from PayPal. Not Permapastures Farm. Me, personally. I was banned. And they don't even give you a reason why. They just like, hey, we're done with you, Jack. Hit the bricks. All right, well, I'll just do business elsewhere. Maybe start, you know, doing it in crypto. Who even knows? We may have to here before too long. But anyway, that's my three for the day. All right. With that said, y'all, we're going to go to my man, Eric Sider.
Hey, Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, it's a small world after all. One of my favorite quotes of Bill Mollison, you can't get back, you can only get forward. It's mostly referring to ecology, but applies to everything in life. The native Nazis are always trying to return to some idealized point in history where the environment was perfect. But the environment is never finished. It's always changing. And the conditions don't even exist to support that version, even if we could somehow go backwards. The same is true politically. I have no idea what the true intention of the current psychopathic Muppet regime is, but what I'm certain of is simply swapping out a new Muppet isn't going to change the direction we're heading. If after all this, you think a president actually has the power to make real change, then I have a bridge in Brooklyn I'd like to sell you. Real change only ever happens from the bottom up. It's like trying to put a rock on a house of cards. Without the foundation, it will just crumble. I can't imagine how frightening it is for people to finally realize that not only does the world they know no longer exists, but it never actually existed. I've had that realization over 20 years at this point, so I try to be as empathetic as I can. But not only did the experiment that we call the United States fail, but based on the maximum number of people that allow sensible government to happen, it was always doomed to fail. Well, if by fail we mean concentrate wealth and power into the hands of the few. The world is going to get a lot smaller. In fact, it's the only way humans can actually be sustainable. But how we get there is another story. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. If you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or remote permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com. And for those in the Sacramento area, check out my permaculture community group, permaculturefairoaks.org.
That's my dog right there. And yeah, like Mountainside with Ken and Amy said, psychopathic Muppet. Doggone right. Yeah, I mean, folks, if you don't realize that the new boss is the same as the old boss, I don't know what to tell you now. Like Eric said, you know, I got a bridge in Brooklyn to send you. So, you know, what do we do then? You know, what are your options? Well, at the end of the day, you know, I got to worry about the things that are in arm's reach of me right now. I got to worry about, and this is why you haven't seen a whole lot of videos out of me as of late, because I've been so busy. We've been so busy, and so many of others out there have been so busy helping others that we've not been looking after ourselves. Okay, people care, like Eric always says, starts with yourself. So in the beginning of every day, that's exactly what Michelle and I have started doing, is we got to look after ourselves. I'd love to be able to go out there and hang out with friends and do other things, but look, I have got things that need to get done on this property. And the problem is maintaining continuity, at least for me. You get started on something, and then you get pulled off over here. You get started on something, and then you got to go over here. And so now, like on the site out there, I told the owners out there, look, you're going to have to start getting your own compost, man. I am up to my eyeballs and other things. You're going to have to start stepping in and doing things. Little shocking that I have to say it. But anyway, I'm having to be not selfish at all, but I've got to look after my own interests. I have trees that I didn't even prune. I got, you know, like everybody else out there, and at a time of year where things are already hectic enough. So that's where I'm going to start. Like Eric says, if you're looking at some of the things I post on Twitter, you're probably cracking up, because I'm using it as a creative outlet for some of the comedy that I got up here that I can't necessarily use. And heaven forbid, when I get to take my time on somebody, I know Dan Bongino and Cash Patel are regretting the day I was ever born, because, even Bobby Kennedy, I'm coming after him. I'm coming after Pam Bondi. I'm coming after all of them. And apparently I have people over there busting up in stitches with some of the things I'm saying. So for me, it's been a creative, I'm taking these negative things that are happening out there, and I'm like, okay, the best way, the last thing these people in power hate is for somebody to laugh at them. Worse yet, I know that I'm being suppressed on YouTube. I know that I'm being suppressed on X. I don't care. At the end of the day, I'm using that part of my brain that I get to use. And William, you can ask your mom. I'll go up there and say, hey, look at this one I came up with. So I'm just all happy with myself, because I've come up with a new way of sticking it to Dan Bongino, or as I call him, that bald-headed zipper worm. If I find a new way of clowning this guy and making him and Cash Patel, you know, I've been calling them Harold and Kumar. You know, I mean, I've been taking my time on these guys. And so I'm like, that's for me as a creative outlet, because I'm using that part of my brain that has a gift for comedy. It, you know, when you speak extemporaneous like this, it doesn't always come out. But if I see somebody write something stupid on there and you're in a position of power, that's how I'm dealing with it, is because now if I can marginalize that person with humor and demonstrate the absurdity of what they're trying to sell me, like Epstein killed himself. I mean, you're trying to sell me that? Okay, I am going to punish you. I will absolutely verbally punish you. And I'm waiting to get banned any day from any of those platforms, but you name it, Laura Loomer, all of them. Man, if you're one of these psychopaths out there calling for the murder of other people, I'm letting you have it with both barrels. But the point being, like Eric says, you know, I'm worrying less about what's going on over there. Yeah, I brought up this thing with Elon and Trump, which I think is a big shell game. I think it's just theater at the end of the day. I mean, it's some pretty entertaining theater. I'll give them that. But it's just pabulum for the American public, I think, is what it comes down to. You got any thoughts on that, son?
I'm just picturing you sitting there with your phone, just tweeting at these people, but also knowing Dad is honestly taking his time on these people, because Dad is about the slowest typer I know. So he's literally just taking his time.
I'm actually talking into the phone. I'm actually talking in there, And half the time, it's funny because if I do it right on the X platform, it purposely misspells your stuff. So I'll have to do it in like the notes section and then cut and paste it and put it over an X. And I was like, okay, I'm having a little bit too much fun doing this, but I'm enjoying punishing these people. So I'm like, well, for me, instead of getting upset about this stuff, I'm finding a creative outlet as long as I temper my time on it. But honestly, folks, I mean, some of this stuff, even I'm cracking me up. Speaking of cracking up, Eric gave me a great idea for this social experiment that I guess I'm committed to do now because I said I was going to do it. But Eric had a great idea. He texted me a few hours ago and he said, Juneteenth is coming up. Maybe you want to do that experiment on Juneteenth with absolution of white guilt on one of the corners in Asheville.
So, you have to do that.
So your mom's like, I'm not filming that. I'm not filming that.
I'll come and film it.
So I'm going to stand up on the corners and I'm going to raise money for Caleb House. I'm not going to keep a dime of it. I've been wanting to do this for years, y'all. I don't know. Just see, I don't know how much the average bum picks up on the corner these days, but I always thought if you stood up there with a sign that made people laugh, you probably fill up that kitty a little bit more. So I thought about coming up with a series of funny signs like, I don't know, Jag needs a tune-up, or, you know, I don't know. I'll have to think about it, but come up with a series of funny signs. But I'd said before that, honestly, Asheville is so woke that I think if I held the sign up and said, look, 1995, absolution of your white guilt, 1995, I wonder how many people would be throwing money at me. So I don't know. I'll have to talk to Bear and find out if he's okay with me, because that's going to be questionable. I mean, is that something he wants to really be a part of? I was going to go out there. I'll raise the money and give it to him. I don't know. We'll find out where it needs to go. But if he's
we should do different signs. We should do different signs. Like, one is anti-Trump. One is like absolve your white guilt. Another one is like, I don't know. We should come up with like different signs and see which sign creates the most money, generates the most money at different locations.
Yeah, I'll have to do it. I mean, I was thinking about doing like, hey, just I need a jug or something, you know, like, or, you know, I need butt implants, or, you know, I don't know. I mean, whatever the case may be, but just something funny, I think would really, really create buzz and really raise a lot of money. I mean, and plus all these clowns around here hold a sign that's 4 inches by 4 inches. You can't read any of it. But I'm like, I'm talking about holding up a legit sign, doing it on Juneteenth at best. Absolution of your white guilt. Of course, it's a big comedy routine. Absolution of your white guilt, 1995. And then I'm going to have a pocket full of nickels to give back, you know. You know, so we'll just see how that goes. So anyway, that's what I'll be doing on Juneteenth, and hopefully raise a little bit of money out there. So, yeah, I'll be sitting there naked on the corner. Who even knows? Hey, Sons of Facts says we got 8 fig trees. They got figs growing like gangbusters around there. So, yeah, if you break bread, I won't fig dead. Or if you break figs, I won't fig dead, you know, as the saying doesn't go. So I kind of screwed that all up. Anyway, we're going to jump into it. But before we do that, EMP Shield 50 bucks off with promo code PERMA. All right, well, you got a lot of people kind of went back into the matrix, but you're probably coming back out that right now, because right now everything's on a knife's edge, and I'm sure it's designed that way. Just like FDR said, if it happens in Washington, you better believe it was planned that way. So we got a lot of weird things and maybe crazy conflagrations that are going to break out who knows where. Look, at the end of the day, whether it's an EMP or whether it is actually a lightning strike, EMP Shield is the best out there, folks. That's why I reached out to them. They don't reach out to me. And if anything gets Kentucky Fried downstream, they're going to cover you for 25 Gs. You find me another transient voltage surge suppressor out there that even offers a guarantee, much one, you know, one like that. So EMP Shield, 50 bucks off with promo code PERMA. All right. So there's kind of been a prepping theme as of late. And I want to talk a little bit about permaculture prepping. Man, what's up with all these P's, man? I keep throwing in things because it's kind of a tongue twister for me, especially when you've been out here sweating all day. So, yeah, permaculture prepping is beyond beans and bullets. There is a difference between the two, and William and I are going to get into it today. So I got a little list here, and just, okay, when you think about, because I started off in the preparedness space, okay, before I discovered permaculture. But if you think about it, preparedness or prepping stores stuff. In permaculture, you produce stuff. Now, I'm not saying each one has to be mutually exclusive from one another, but, and William, you tell me if I'm wrong, in most cases out there, all the people in the preparedness world, that, in fact, what got me out of it in the Kansas and Missouri area, in that Kansas City area, was everybody had their own little pet thing. This guy's in the guns. This guy's in the vehicles. This guy's in the gardening. This guy's in the gun. And that's it. They were so myopic that they couldn't even see that I probably ought to know a little bit about all of this. And it got to be something of a show and tell in some of the gatherings over there. And I'm like, okay, man, I really ought not to be mixed up in any of this because it really doesn't make any sense. So when you discover permaculture or just farming or homesteading, whatever the case may be, that's where you can overlay the preparedness with the permaculture. I mean, you don't just prepare for a crisis. You design your way out of it. Anything you want to say on that, son?
Yeah, a lot of people want to focus mostly on, like, your last resort. And that's your gun. Like, most people want to focus on, like, using your gun, getting comfortable with your gun. I can use it in all these different modes and stuff like that. When it comes to homesteading and farming, most of the time I'm shooting the gun at the property is because I'm just practicing. It's not because I'm defending myself or, you know, taking care of a pest or anything like that. Like, it's nice to have, and I'm not saying it's not important to have, but that's where everybody wants to focus, is just on the gun. Now, real quick, Silver Sage had a question. She says, I'm homeschooling my boy Elijah. He is 6. We planted over 150 4-inch pots with pomegranate seeds and winter squash. Can you give Elijah a shout out? He loves watching your garden shows. Shout out to Elijah. How's it going, buddy?
Yeah, what's going on, Elijah? Hey, man, you know what? I wish I had somebody like that doing those things for me when I was your age, man. So, hey, kudos. Stay after it, buddy. Yeah. It's good stuff. Yeah. So anyway, glad to have you there and glad to have everybody else in here. If you're coming in right now, hit that thumbs up. All right. The next one I got here, you know, food stores run out, living systems don't. And that's why we teach big time redundance. Like I was talking a little bit ago, like our peaches, you got early, mid, and late. So if you ever get a late frost or early frost, no matter what, or even if you got both, you still get a harvest. You still get something. That's why we do early, mid, and late of everything out there, especially in our perennial systems. But, you know, in the prepper space, you know what? They're thinking about canned goods. They're thinking about freeze-dried foods. And, yeah, we do all those things. But canned goods expire. A perennial food forest or garden, they keep on giving. So, I mean, why? You know, there's more to just stockpiling pasta out there, okay? You know, you can be planting calories, you know, potatoes, sweet potatoes, sunchokes, artichokes. I mean, squash, you name it. I mean, there's so many different things out there. But all these things, your canned goods, I mean, expired or not, I mean, in a pinch, I'm sure somebody would eat them. But think about those systems. You don't even want to, I mean, just think about this. You don't even want to be getting into your beans and rice until you have to. You use it as a supplementation to what you already have on the ground. Anything, what do you have to say to that?
Well, you can also, you were talking earlier about earlier, middle, and then late harvest on your peaches and stuff. You can also apply that to like your protein sources as well. So you can view eggs as like your consistent, meaning like every day, consistent protein, your mid protein being maybe it could be the actual chicken itself. So 8 to 14 weeks after it hatches, that's your mid protein, your longer term protein, which could be your sheep, and then your even longer term protein, which could be your beef if you wanted to. And then also with the cow, you get another source of like consistent protein along with your eggs could be milk as well. So that way you have different sources of food that come in at different frequencies as well.
All right, y'all. Water storage is good, but harvesting is better. Son, where's the number one place you can store water?
Soil. That's the most efficient place.
Yeah, so for every 1%, now some of this stuff is going to overlay. We've talked about it before. For every 1% of organic matter you put down in that soil, you get the equivalent of an Olympic-sized swimming pool per acre, okay? So what are you doing? You're recharging your aquifers. You're doing, and obviously, you know, it's going to do wonders for your pastures and everything else out there. But you're recharging your aquifers by doing that, just by good management. So just don't feel, think about filling barrels. Think about filling swales, ponds, passive irrigation systems. Remember, the problem is the solution. If you have all this energy falling from the sky in the form of rain, remember, you can deflect it, you can capture it for a little while, or you can amplify it. And then in the best systems, you can do all three. So the problem is the solution when it comes to drought proofing.
Yeah. Oh, you froze there. Sorry, Dad.
I'm a guy for nothing.
No. Your audio froze. I didn't even know you passed it over to me. Sorry. I didn't catch that last part of what you said.
Well, at the end of the day, I mean, I'm talking about water storage.
Oh, yeah. I mean, doing it in the soil is by far your most efficient way, but you should be thinking about, like, anytime you have to move any earth, how is this going to affect the watershed as well? Because I've seen other examples where people have, like, made a driveway on one side of their property, but in doing that, they've blocked all of the additional rainfall that they could get from the neighbor's property by hilling up that driveway, and then it just hits that driveway and then funnels down and off their property. So yeah, making sure that you can store, harvest, and direct water anywhere on your property is pretty important. It's something that most people overlook or think about after they get their food systems in.
William touched on it a minute ago, and thinking about your livestock as preps. I mean, like your chickens, your rabbits, your sheep. I mean, they're walking pantries if you stop to think about it. And you can leave that meat on the hoof for as long as you might need to, especially, you know, at least the way we do it with our sheep and stuff. I mean, I don't put one in the freezer until I have to. Or let's say, like right now, this time of year, I need everybody in the field eating up as much as they possibly can, because it's coming back so fast that I don't have enough stock. So if you don't have enough and it's getting ahead of you during the spring flush or anything like that, well, you're going to have to go out there and deal with it. But these guys are also, I mean, they're soil builders, and to a certain extent, even heat sources. If you're making compost piles out of it, I mean, you could heat your water with it. You can do any number of things with it. And think about it, a flock of sheep, let's say, is a whole lot harder to steal than freeze dried meals. So, yeah. I mean, well, when you get down to it, I mean, and then think about it. Soil is the original security system. Healthy soil is really the root of all preparedness as it pertains in the permaculture world. It really is. I mean, you're growing your nutrients, your medicine, water retention. A lot of your health starts right there. And so many of us, this is why I keep beating everybody over the head about composting. It is so incredibly important. And like Elaine Ingham taught years ago, that this would have been, you know, 100 years ago in America, maybe 150 years ago, this just would have been old hat. This would have been what they just did. Everybody knew how to do it. And then as we moved into cities and we've gotten away from that, people have forgotten how to do it and forgotten how to do it well. So just think about those things. Next up, you know, knowledge and skills don't expire. You can't loot a recipe out of my head of how to make compost. You dig? Or how are you going to steal a grafting technique off a shelf? Good luck on any of that. I mean, boost that brain trust. And most people don't. A lot of us get into this space and then we stop learning. You're like, oh, okay, I got this, 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 and this. And then you stop learning.
Yeah.
You know, think about medicinal plants, natural building, animal processing. And I knew it would happen. And a lot of people have done it. You know, here it is. I could teach a processing class every single week, but there was a time I couldn't even give away a course, okay, with my background and with the training that I have. I couldn't even give it away. People would say they'd come, and then they never would. Son, you've been on the receiving end of some of that, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you know, as far as skills out there that people need to be stacking up, what do you think?
One thing that really was impressed upon me during that disaster relief was like just basic medical and first aid knowledge. That's something I definitely need to get better at is, you know, just how to, if not just for animals and stuff like that, but, you know, people as well, because farming, I forget how high on the list it is, but especially when you involve tractors, it's a pretty dangerous job. Like, you know, you're dealing with sharp, rusty, spinning things for the most part. So yeah, learning more about first aid and like emergency medical and stuff like that, I think would be a good skill set to start understanding, as well as, like I said before, radios in general, getting into the radios and just being able to communicate to your neighbor and stuff. That seems to be pretty important. And also, you don't realize like how valuable communication is until you can't communicate with who you're trying to communicate with quickly. But yeah, if you focus on soil, everything else as far as the farming will just kind of fall in line. Like, it kind of gives you a buffer with everything else. Like, it gives you a buffer on grazing correctly. It gives you buffer on best gardening practices for your location. If you do the soil, everything else will just fall in line.
The biggest missing point for most people is animal management, I think. They overstock like nothing you've ever seen before. That is the number one problem with most homesteads out there, is just absolutely positively overstocking with way too much. You want this cow, you want this chicken, you want this pig, you want all this stuff, but you may not have the carrying capacity for all of that. So that's one of the big ones there. So I would call, yeah, it is something of a buffer, but I would also caution you to kind of slow your roll and ask yourself, go through it diligently and ask yourself, okay, can I manage this many chickens? Can I manage, or can this ground even support this stuff? So there's things to consider there. Energy resilience, you know, now this is going to be in the permaculture space along with the preparedness space. You know, think about designing. If you're starting from the ground up, I mean, it might be a good place to design some passive heating and cooling systems, solar dehydrators, rocket stoves. I mean, all those things that you could maybe weave into the design of what you're currently doing, or maybe ask yourself, can you retrofit what you already have? I mean, do we really want to be a slave to, I mean, all of us, like Max Egan said, we're all truckitarians these days. You know what that means? Everything in your life and mine too that you purchase came from a truck. So to a certain extent, we're all slaves to the diesel delivery systems and the lithium mines. And we need to try and yank back a little bit of that power. But that's one of the areas, and that's one of the big problematic areas, I think, in both permaculture and in the traditional preparedness systems. And then also on that same token, composting toilets and off-grid waste systems. Look, we worked out of a compost toilet for a long, long time. Humanor works. I even knew a guy out in Arizona, blew my mind, but man, he was using raw manure out there, and he was like, yeah, he maybe get away with that in Arizona. You know, Humanor and vermicomposting, you could turn liabilities into fertility. Now, it takes a little bit with the Humanor, but it can be done. I mean, the government may shut down your water, but they may shut down the water coming to your house, but can they shut off your water storage if you stored it, or can they shut down your compost pile? I mean, I suppose to a certain extent, if it got that bad, but these are the little feathers in a cap that we need to constantly work on.
Yeah. On the point of the energy inputs earlier, when you're talking about those structures and stuff, like if you're living, you can take some of the principles from Earthship and apply them to your own home without actually having to build an Earthship. For example, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere and you're trying to, and it's like a temperate environment, and you're trying to limit how much you have to burn or pay for energy to heat your house through the winter, you can just have a south-facing house. If you're in the Northern Hemisphere, all of your windows and your doors and all that stuff are on the south-facing side of the house. And then the northeast and west side of your house is heavily insulated, if not backed up to like an earth berm or something like that. Making sure your house is heavily insulated, maybe doing floors that are thermal mass, that acts as a thermal mass as opposed to maybe carpet or wood. There's a lot of these principles you can just add to an existing home and have a way more energy efficient house. Also, every roof structure near an earthship is capturing water. And they, believe it or not, in Taos, New Mexico, they get 7 inches of rainfall per year. And each one of those houses, if they use them wisely, captures all the water it needs for the year in about one or two rain events.
Wow, that's really something. And like William said, you can cut and paste a lot of this stuff. But let's not forget one of the most important components here, and that's mental and spiritual preparedness. I don't think we talk enough about this. I mean, burnout, fear, paralysis. You know what? That's killed more people than starvation, I'll bet. I really believe that, especially the fear. Nothing makes a person more stupid than being fearful. And if you haven't prepared for certain scenarios and you're fearful, that's the quickest way to go to the grave. I mean, connection to the land and our creator gives clarity, not just character. I mean, not just calories to what's going on. Ask the Lord to bless what you have. I do every single day. That's one of the things I do in the morning is to ask him to put a hedge of protection over everything I have. And that, you know, the stuff that falls from the sky, these chemtrails, that they fall as fertilizer to the ground. I mean, there's a lot of weird stuff going on right now, folks. And people say, well, I'll pray. It's the least I can do. I got news for you. It's all you can do. It's the most you can do. It really is. It really is. So don't forget about that part of it either. And I would also say to a certain extent, all of this, permaculture and preparedness as you overlay them, is a community sport. I mean, I would say, look at it like this. Like in permaculture, we have zones. Well, you know what? I apply those now to my relationships as well. Zone one are the people that, you know, ride or die. And then zone five is like trust but verify kind of, you know, I mean, there is a, you know, you want to build networks more than you build bunkers because most of us have more time than money. I know I mean, that's the case with us. But seriously, yeah. Just like in permaculture, some, what are the most critical zones in permaculture?
0, 1, 2, sometimes 3, depending on the location. But those are the zones that you interact with multiple, like zone 3, you might interact with one time a day. Zone 2, a little more frequently. Zone 1, it's like constantly throughout the day. And you want to focus mostly on those because those are the areas that you already, it's an efficient design system. So it's an area that you're already focusing on. You're already spending time there. It also, if you put your garden there, it forces you to interact with your garden more. So pulling harvests, weeds, stuff like that.
Yeah, but I'm using it I wanted to know so people could understand as it pertains to people. So when I say that the people in my zone 1, very, very few. People in zone 5, that's most of the planet. Okay, folks. So just because somebody calls themselves your friend, you got to do the evaluation on that. Like I said, trust but verify everybody. Okay, so you got people, just like we treat our zones in permaculture, I'm like, why are we not applying this to people as well? So if zone 5 is wilderness, and zone 0 is my home, zone, you know, as these zones, okay, look at it another way. Like it's cliche now, but I'm going to say it. It's like that circle of trust. Okay. Imagine concentric circles, 5 being all the way out there, 1 and 0 being the closest. Okay. So think about those people in terms of your preparedness as well. Do you want a zone 3 person anywhere near you when a calamity unfolds? I don't know that you do, because maybe they're a wishy-washy person, or maybe they're a couple and you like one of them. The one of them's very capable, but the other is an albatross. Is that somebody? Okay, that's, you got to start asking questions about that sort of thing. So like I said, treat a lot of this preparedness and no permaculture as they overlay to one another, because folks, we got to stop thinking that these things are exclusive. They aren't. You can overlay, if we're good at anything here, is being able to overlay all these different things that traditionally shouldn't apply. And my question is, why not? I mean, why not? And then also going back to the previous one that I was just talking about, well, if I have a sheep that's jumping the fence, okay, in the freezer, you're going to go. If I got a rooster who's no good, well, you're going in the freezer too. Same thing with a cow, same with everything else. So why, if we don't expect bad behavior in an animal, why do we put up with it in what should be high-functioning human beings? But we do. So don't let those people in your zone five creep their way into your zone two or in the zone one. Or one of the excuses I heard before, well, I have kids. Now, this is from a person who was living constantly on vacation and had the audacity. It didn't happen to me necessarily, but it did happen to another person that was very much into preparedness. And the excuse was, well, I have children. You mean to tell me you love my kids? Would you turn them away? And he's like, he didn't tell her this, but the idea was, hold on. Shouldn't you care enough about your kids to not live on nonstop vacation and put back a little bit for your kids?
Right.
No, you can't outsource something like that to me. But yeah, I mean, I was appalled when I heard it. I'm like, okay, well, no. Sorry, your kids got a stupid mother. Sorry, your kids are being raised by a nincompoop. I don't know what to tell you, because truth of it is, if you already know, just by virtue of you asking that question, you already know that what you're doing is not a wonderful idea. But you're wanting me to take care of your irresponsibility? I don't think so, especially in a crisis situation. So, and folks, honestly, be also careful about who you let to your place. Now, go back to King Hezekiah and what happened to him. Yeah. So he gets these visitors, and you know what? He showed him everything that he had. And then he was dealt with it late, you know, later on, you know, your kids wind up eunuchs in Babylon. So that ain't the best thing in the world. So you got to be careful about, if people do come over, are there parts of your place that you don't want anybody to see? Are there things that are highly sensitive that you got to be careful about? Well, think about that before the next dinner party or gathering or whatever. And just be especially cautious. I'm not saying you should be antisocial. I would love to do something over here, but I just don't have the bandwidth. I have got to get these things done. I've got to get things squared away. But be real cautious who you let in your keeper. You wind up like King Hezekiah, where they see everything you have, and maybe it just stays in the back of their mind. Things jump off. All of a sudden, oh, that's why I don't do any courses here, y'all. That's why I don't have anybody out here at my place. Because the worst thing for you is to show up here unannounced, and you will not get the welcome you thought. I promise you that.
Yeah, that's a fact.
Yeah, so you roll up here like some people have tried to do in the past. Oh, you just happen to... No, Jack, you don't just roll up on here by accident.
No. And you can't be on the way to anything else. No. You didn't just happen to be here.
No, you didn't just accidentally roll up here. That ain't happening. And if you think for a minute that I know there's a lot of nice people out there, and I like to be a nice guy too, but if you show up here unannounced, it's not going to be a good day for you. And maybe to a certain extent, I'm not saying we need to be standoffish, but you can't let everybody know where all your preps are or where the things are that are most valuable. And if you do have folks over, like I said, maybe there's a part you don't want folks to see, not unless they are in your zone zero. You dig? So that's important stuff, especially in these days. Anything you want to add to that, son?
Yeah, Bear just did, over at Bear Independent, he at Midwest Preparedness Conference, he did a whole class on verifying people and kind of taking them. And kind of without him, I don't think he was conscious of it, but he was kind of talking about what you were saying with the permaculture zones and how you have, you know, different levels of accepted, I guess, or trusted, I should say. Yeah, the class was called like Trust but Verify, something along those lines. But yeah, now one thing Bobby and Patrick from Midwest Preparedness Conference kept bringing up was using that game without rule of law to kind of filter through some people, because apparently they've kicked some people out that have given some pretty crazy answers and without rule of law. And just so you guys that don't know, without rule of law is like a card game, kind of like apples to apples, I think. And there's nobody that really wins the game. It's just like a conversation game. But you pull a card from the deck and it gives you a scenario, and each person has to go through and tell them and basically give the scenario or give their response to that scenario. It's pretty interesting, but you kind of get some people's true colors out, especially once they start getting around that campfire and start drinking. Then you start getting some wild answers, but you want to know that ahead of time, don't you?
Yeah, but it's also, well, like, you know, in vino veritas, in wine there is truth. So, you know, and that could be helpful in certain circumstances. But honestly, that game also helps to reveal character. Because if it's, you know, the last person I ever want to be around is, and I can't even believe how many of these people I've met, where, hey, if something jumps off, I got a gun, or I'll go hunting. You've never been hunting in your life. Okay, let's say you did kill something. Let's say you didn't manage to kill it. Now what do you do? Because that's what you just got started there. How do you preserve that meat? Do you even know where the meat is and how to get it? Do you even know where the tenderloin is on a deer? Okay. Yeah. There's things like that, that if that person says, oh, you know, I'll just go hunting, they have zero preparedness at all. And they have no intention of ever acquiring any skills. So those are the people you got to watch out for. And then also the other ones, the reason why that game, I love it so much in terms of what it can produce, is that it shows the character in a big way, because you're presented these scenarios that are unusual, uncomfortable. And if it's a one-off and the person's just being funny, okay, well, you can dismiss some of that. But you can learn the character about a person in that game just with the scenarios that are presented. So you can use that as a barometer. Maybe you go to one of these prepper campouts, and that's one of the people, one of the things you talk about, or, you know, one of the things you bring up around a campfire. So it tells you a lot about a person's character. And it could be a pretty good barometer as to, maybe I want to take this person from zone 5 and put them in the zone 4. And, or maybe they go from zone 4. Maybe they're, you know, you see enough in their character. Maybe they want to go a little bit closer. I don't know. But there's a bunch of different barometers in which you can do, in which you can figure these things out. And believe it or not, a lot of these camping trips, especially if you do like a bug out bag only kind of camping trip, you find out where the character is in a lot of people and what they find. You find out what they know and what they don't know. Okay. Just based on what they pack. I mean, I've been out there. There was this one guy, Johnson County guy, had fish traps, had all, never used any of it. Never used it.
Yeah.
It had all the tactical gear in the world, but didn't know how to use any of it. So, yeah. You know, dressed in the whole nine yards. So, yeah.
Yes. Off Grid with Sugar Creek says, where do you get the card game? I think they have a website, Without Rule of Law. WROL. Does that sound right, Dan?
Yeah, it might be. If you just put in Without Rule of Law card game, or WROL card game, that's a pretty good way to, you know, start figuring out what's under the, it's kind of kicking the tires on the person to find out, you know, what's up with them. So, like William said, it was a little confusing to me at first, because I'm like, okay, well, how do you win this game? Because it's not really a game. It could be a character test without the people there really knowing it. So,
Yeah.
So that's a really good thing. All right, y'all.
I found it on Amazon, though. Sorry, Dad. I found it on Amazon. It popped up just searching Without Rule of Law.
All right, y'all. Well, that's going to be another one for us in the books tonight. Want to thank everybody for coming in live. Look, y'all, it's a crazy world out there right now, and it's getting crazier. Remember my predictions for 2025. It's going to get weirder and weirder and weirder. And as things unfold, folks, you got to get your skills together. All right, y'all. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you. Till next time, stay alert.
Stay alive.
Wisdom from Saul, come across the dream, let the idea unfold. I'm grooving with the truth, feeling anxious, we've got the answers, all we need to do, listen to the earth, they got us through. Let's see the shame, watch the world spin. From the smallest sprout to harmony begin in the cycle of life, where the magic's alive.